America, how do we like it in the Twilight Zone? Remember the Twilight Zone? Everything was backwards and warped and weird. The good was bad. The bad was good. That's how it feels like right now. So many examples. Our society has been turned upside down over the past year. This is when I knew things had really come off the train tracks. Remember during those riots of last summer, and they tried to burn down that church across the street from the White House? They did, and it was awful. Crowds yelling horrible things against the church, against white people, against the United States, ripping out their cameras and starting a great big fire. That was painful to watch. You know what made me feel great? The next day, when Donald Trump restored law and order and stood in front of that church with the Bible. Doesn't that make sense? I see nothing wrong with this. Of course, the fake news, they thought this was an abomination. How dare the leader of the country stand in front of a church with a Bible in his hands? Now, I learned something about that church, St. John's, right across the street from the White House. Look at what they have today, a Black Lives Matter permanent mural right outside the church. Black Lives Matter, which, if you read between the lines and you read the fine print, it's an atheist organization that hates America, that hates capitalism, that hates family. So let's put those images side by side. What's happening in America? Where a president with the Bible in front of a church, that is an abomination. Black Lives Matter, that sign in front of the same church today, right now, that's beautiful. That's considered beautiful? No, that is the abomination. How about this? Rudy Giuliani. A great lawyer, a great friend at Newsmax, he is being threatened with disbarment. Meanwhile, two attorneys on the right who threw, allegedly, a Molotov cocktail at a police car last summer. No problem. You can practice law in New York and Washington, D.C. They're still working that out. How about Governor Cuomo and Governor DeSantis? How have the media treated these guys? They have been all over DeSantis. Oh, they make fun of him. They don't like his policies. They don't like his appearance. Meanwhile, Governor Cuomo, Cuomo-sexual, right? Which one killed, apparently, thousands of elderly nursing home patients? It was Governor Cuomo. Yet, which one does the mainstream media still portray as the villain? It's not fair. It's not right. And let's not forget the poor cops who, at one point in this country, we all pretty much revered.
9/11. I'm Rodney Price. See Surplus Store, corner People's Drive.
Wasn't this great? Everybody got along. Beautiful. We like cops. Sometimes they made mistakes, but we like cops. And we glorified them and celebrated them. What happens today? We yell at them, we stigmatize them, we put them down. These kinds of images were somehow considered beautiful. This was righteous. This is what Barack Obama was talking about. Praising, making the people feel uncomfortable out there, taking it to the streets. It's awful. It's awful. And the cops, what are they left with, huh? They're confused. All these new rules, when they do their job, they're threatened not only to lose their job, but to lose, I don't know, maybe even their freedom. Watch this.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hey, get down. Get down. Get down! Get down! Hey! Hey!
This is the Makia Bryant incident in Ohio. It was clear that deadly force was justified, all right? That woman was about to stab the one in the pink tracksuit, all right? Deadly force had to be used. Yet our culture went crazy against the cop. The most powerful athlete in the world, probably LeBron James, seemed to be calling for blood of some type. And Makia Bryant went down in history, right? Glorified, everyone kind of glossing over the fact that she was about to stab somebody in the heart. And that's why she was shot. Meanwhile, and talk about bizarre world, Twilight Zone, Ashley Babbitt gets shot, unarmed, and nobody cares.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to Ashley Babbitt? Why are so few people still talking about this? There's the evidence right there. She was unarmed. Why don't we know? Is it because she's white? Is it because she's a Trump supporter? Is it because it looks like the Capitol Hill police officer might have been black? What's going on here? Why aren't we learning anything about this case? Think about it. How about those Covington kids? I still remember this. This is probably the worst unfair media episode, one of them in history. That young man, Nicholas Sandman, did nothing but smile. How could that be offensive? Yet the creep with the drum, who had a criminal record, went over to those kids. He was celebrated as some sort of hero and victim. This is crazy stuff, folks. This is really, really crazy. What happened to our history? What happened to our shared heritage? What happened to talking about Martin Luther King? I remember in the first grade when they came in and told us about Martin Luther King. It was beautiful. I admired him when I was 6 years old. That speech, judging people, not on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. Is that beautiful? Of course it is. You don't hear about MLK that much. It's almost like he's been soft canceled as we get assigned, courses in white privilege and how to fight white privilege and how to put ourselves down because we're white. Or look at this book, new book assigned to school districts all over the country. Not my idea, a book about whiteness. This is a real doozy, folks. Let's go through a couple of the pages. Yikes, this is for kids. And it's not just one weird school in Vermont. It's a whole bunch. It's presented almost like an art project, but it's a book. Whiteness is a bad deal. It always was. Dude, we can see your pointy tail. I think that's what it says. Pretty weird. One more. Here's a teacher reading the book.
Hi, my name is Mrs. Hale, and I'm going to read to you a book called Not My Idea, a book about whiteness. In 1993 interview, Toni Morrison said about racism in America, "White people have a very, very serious problem, and they should start thinking about what they can do about it." Who is that with their hands up? Why is that policeman screaming at him? Bang, 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 bang. They want to bury the truth.
All right, is this stuff for kids? I really think they should be learning about Martin Luther King, actually. This is, again, not just one book in one school in Vermont. It's all over the country. Take a look at these locations all over the place. This book is a big, big deal. Not my idea, a book about whiteness. Well, I'll tell you this, that book is not my idea. And here's another corrosive, corrupt idea that's gaining traction. I can't believe it. That January 6th was worse than September 11th. There are people who used to be not crazy actually saying this. Now, just to recap, one person was killed on January 6th. We just talked about her, Ashley Babbitt. Nearly 3,000 people were killed on September 11th, including two friends of mine. Steve Schmidt, who has advised President Bush, who has advised Senator McCain, there he is, real swamp character. Now he's one of those Lincoln Project guys. He had a long association with them. Listen to this.
The 1-6 attack for the future of the country is a profoundly more dangerous event than the 9-11 attacks. And in the end, the 1-6 attacks are likely to kill a lot more Americans than were killed on the 9-11 attacks, which will include the casualties of the wars that lasted 20 years following it.
Is he saying this to be outrageous? Is he having some sort of personal crisis? He's not the only one, though. Here's Matthew Dowd. He worked for George W. Bush, then Arnold Schwarzenegger, saying the same kind of thing.
January 6th was worse than 9-11 because it's continued to rip our country apart and give permission for people to pursue autocratic means.
So this is obviously nonsense to all of us. Maybe we're naive because we do see things. There's right and there's wrong and there's truth and there are lies. For a lot of these people, the swamp people, those who run the swamp, run the media culture, it's about power. It's about money. And they'll say anything and do anything to get both. Isn't that right, Barack Obama?
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America. There is not a black America and a white America and Latino America and Asian America. There's the United States of America.
Back when he was trying to charm us, back when he wanted something from us, he wanted status, he wanted fame, he wanted power, and he wanted money. And he got all that stuff. He got all that stuff. And now that he has it and he doesn't need anything else from us, he can tell us who he really is and how he really views this country.
I understand why a white factory worker who's seen his wages cut or his job shipped overseas might feel like the government no longer looks out for him. And why a black mom might feel like it never looked out for her at all. I understand why a new immigrant might look around this country and wonder whether there's still a place for him here.
Such stark racial terms, a white factory worker, a black mom, like that's the most important. What happened to the United States of America? One America. No, he doesn't think that way. That's not what's in his heart. He was fooling us back then. You know, I read his latest autobiography, his what, fifth or sixth, about himself. Every time he talked about white people, it was actually glaringly obvious. He did it in a negative sense. There was a negative connotation. 97 references to white people, 71% were negative, referring to white panic or white flight or a white middle-aged man, and it was colorless in the room, that kind of thing. That's who he is. What about his successor, Joe Biden? Talk about a guy who will say anything to get elected, to achieve power, to get money, to get status. He's really, really good at that, but not as sleek as hiding it.
We can treat each other with dignity and respect. We can join forces, stop the shouting, and lower the temperature.
President, do you have any comments on the efforts to oust Liz Cheney from the House Republican leadership post?
I don't understand your trouble. My whole soul is in this, bringing America together, uniting our people, uniting our nation.
It's sick. It's sick. The Republican voters I know find this despicable. Republican voters.
Let's begin to listen to one another again. Hear one another. See one another. Show respect to one another.
Yeah, I'm not confident, James. I said.
He's a nasty guy. Doesn't really believe in anything. Empty suit, and he's got what he wants, and he's protected, at least for now. So they've badmouthed America. They've distorted America. They've tried to break America. Still, I have faith in America. Even though they canceled the fireworks, this country can't be canceled. We got to fight for it, of course, within the law, right? Constitution's a beautiful thing. And they're still coming to America. Isn't that right, Neil Diamond? Be right back.
Got a dream to take them there. They're coming to America. Got a dream they've come to share.
It's too bad she didn't win her congressional race the last time around, but boy, oh boy, was she spectacular. I'm talking about Kim Klasick. Her ads for that race went mega viral. She was running in Baltimore for Congress. Take a look.
Do you care about black lives? The people that run Baltimore don't. I can prove it. Walk with me. They don't want you to see this. I'm Kim Klasick. This is Baltimore, the real Baltimore. This is the reality for black people every single day. Crumbling infrastructure, abandoned homes, poverty, and crime. Baltimore has been run by the Democrat Party for 53 years. What is the result of their decades of leadership? Baltimore is one of the top five most dangerous cities in America.
See what I'm talking about? This was awesome. And Kim Klasick, you may not have won that race for the House of Representatives, but I think huge things are coming. You know, four of the last five presidents, I think, Kim, ran for Congress and lost the first time around. So who knows what's next? Kim Klasick, welcome to Newsmax. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You know what I mean about that? I'm not kidding. Clinton, Obama, George W. Bush, their first time running for office. They all ran for Congress. They all lost. They never became members of the House of Representatives. And look what they achieved. I think that could happen for you. Have you thought about the future in those terms?
Thank you. Yeah, you know, actually, we left $1 million in the bank. We were very conservative with our treasury. And so run again. We don't know if we're going to do it, you know, coming up in 22 or 24, because obviously Baltimore, there's still a lot of work to be done. So there's a lot of ground that we still have to cover. But we're definitely going to continue to run. And you never know what the future holds.
All right. So, Kim, there are some really weird things happening in America today that I just don't feel like I know my country like I used to. What's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. Last summer, they tried to burn down a church across from the White House. President Trump walked across the next day when order had been restored and proudly held up a Bible. Maybe not proudly, but I think with a certain dignity, held up that Bible. Now today, there is a Black Lives Matter sign outside that same church. What Donald Trump did is considered by the mainstream American culture to be an abomination. And now Black Lives Matter has been memorialized in front of that church. And as you probably know, I'm sure, their values aren't in sync with what the church teaches, I believe.
No, you're absolutely right, Greg. You know, it's crazy, but there are a lot of Black Americans that do not agree with Black Lives Matter at all. A lot of us know that this is really just an organization that has a front, and this is how they make money. You can look at the local chapters, and they will tell you they have not received much money from the headquarters at BLM, even though they've asked time and time again. The families that they talk about supporting through everything that they've gone through as far as losing their children, you know, even if it's in the hands of police officers, they don't support those families either with anything, not even a financial benefit. And they raised millions of dollars. People don't realize this, but if you do go to their website, they talk about the destruction of the family structure, right? And so for us, Black Americans, that is the worst thing that we could do, especially in our own communities. You know, Baltimore City is a prime example of what happens when you devalue family structure. The 1994 crime bill hit us hard. As you know, our President Joe Biden co-sponsored that bill. Even Kwesi Mfume, my opponent in the congressional race, he also co-sponsored that bill, and it killed us in our community. So Black Lives Matter should never be supported, and it's so sad to see that they are.
And police, as you know, demonized, stigmatized, they're trying to cancel them. And this was glorified by the mainstream media. Scenes like this, where a young, irate woman gets in the face of a police officer, yells at him. This is during COVID, by the way. That seems dangerous at the time. This was okay. This was all somehow beautiful. This is speaking truth to power. And my fear is that the culture, like somehow these values are taking hold. This is permanent. And I know you have this pack, the Red Renaissance. I'd love to see if there's something you can do about all of this. I know it's a lot to it's a lot on your plate if you can.
Yeah, so Red Renaissance, thank you so much for mentioning it. We have a PAC where we're supporting across the country that, you know, support America First policies. And of course, our police, you know, we back the blue, all of us. You know, these are people that put their lives on the line, people that they've never even met. And I don't understand why would we vilify any of the police. If you look at Baltimore City specifically, last June, we defunded the police by $22 million, and we had hundreds of people lose their lives to gun violence. Because there were less police on patrol. Now, this June, we have refunded the police by $28 million. And unfortunately, we've had so many police officers already leave the force, it's hard to recruit them at this point. The police are people that we need, especially in Black communities, because they're some of the most dangerous neighborhoods. So, yes, we are working so hard to make sure candidates that grow up in their community go on to represent their community. And again, they are all supporters of police.
So, have you noticed that January 6th is now the cudgel, is now the excuse to cancel, stifle all debate, any questions about the election, any questions almost about anything? January 6th is worse than September 11th. And this I'm hearing now from prominent Republicans and some former Republicans like Steve Schmidt, like Matthew Dowd. Take a look at this guy, Steve Schmidt, active in Republican politics for a very long time, top aide to George W. Bush, John McCain. This guy is not supposed to be crazy. And well, listen to this.
The 1-6 attack for the future of the country is a profoundly more dangerous event than the 9-11 attacks. And in the end, the 1-6 attacks are likely to kill a lot more Americans than were killed on the 9-11 attacks, which will include the casualties of the wars that lasted 20 years following it.
I know that's insane. I think, Kim, you know that's insane. But people are actually buying this stuff. This is the new narrative. And President Trump said the other day, if you say it often enough, again and again and again, people will start to believe it somehow.
No, those comments are so disgusting. I can't believe he made such comments. And I can't believe anybody would support such comments. You know, on 9-11, we lost tragically so many people, firefighters, police officers, regular everyday people going to work, children. Remember, there were lots of children on that plane that crashed down in Pennsylvania. And so for them to compare it to January 6th, where it basically was, you know, a riot. I know they called it an insurrection, but it was a riot. I mean, this makes no sense whatsoever. But this is something that they push. And Trump is right. You know, if they say it more and often enough, people begin to believe it. But, you know, it kind of reminds me of what Congresswoman Ilhan Omar said about 9-11. Some people did some things. You know, it's just as bad. You know, that was a tragic day in American history. I thought that we would learn from it. And here we are really just degrading what happened and, you know, putting a scar on all those lives lost. There are a lot of families still grieving from what happened on 9-11. So I'm disgusted.
There's one little girl I think about. Because not much has been said about the children who were lost on 9-11. And she was on the plane that crashed into, I believe, the South Tower. And she was on her way to Disney World. It was a dream. And if you'll give me a moment, I think her name was, here she is, Kim Hansen. Christine Lee Hansen, just 2 years old. The youngest of the victims on September 11th, a two-year-old. Was lost on 9-11, and a guy like Schmidt saying what he just said. Kim, I'm so glad you're out there doing what you're doing. The Red Renaissance, check it out, folks. It's at www.redrenaissance.com. Kim Klasick, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, and we'll be right back.
Have you checked out the Newsmax Daily Podcast with me, Rob Carson? You get daily news, insightful commentary, and believe it or not, comedy. Check it out wherever you listen to your favorite podcast or at newsmaxtv.com/podcast.
All right, this is Captain Sam Brown, West Point graduate 2006, U.S. Army, went on to become an airborne ranger, deployed as an infantry platoon leader to Kandahar, Afghanistan in 2008. A few months into his deployment, his vehicle was struck by an IED, the blast wounding several and causing immediate evacuation from Afghanistan. Yikes, he had to spend 3 years of rehab and recovery. He was medically retired from the U.S. Army as a captain in September of 2011 after more than 5 years of active duty service. Sam and his wife now live in Nevada and run a small business providing critical services to veterans when the VA needs a private company to assist in urgently accessing medication outside the federal system. He and his wife are there, and now he is a Republican candidate for the United States Senate from Nevada. Captain Sam Brown, welcome to Newsmax. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Greg, I'm doing great. I appreciate time with you and your audience today.
We appreciate it so much. Well, first things first, obviously you're qualified. What you've done for our country, quite frankly, coming out of West Point and everything else, you're qualified to be in the U.S. Senate, and I think we need you there. What would you do there when you get there?
You know, Greg, I'm running to be a U.S. senator because the American people have been betrayed by the political elites. And that doesn't just include elected officials. That includes big businesses, big tech as well. Look, what I experienced over the 4th of July weekend was phenomenal. Prior to being a candidate, as just a private citizen, I posted a tweet of me in uniform saluting the American flag. Do you know what Twitter's response was just a few hours after I declared to be a U.S. Senate candidate? They censored it. And it leaves me wondering, what is Twitter censoring? Are they censoring the scars of a wounded veteran? Or are they censoring the fact that there's a picture of a soldier saluting the flag? Or could it be that it is related to the fact that I'm now a candidate for U.S. Senate running against an incumbent Democrat? regardless of what their answer is, it's unacceptable. And this is the type of thing that we've seen Twitter do by even deplatforming President Trump while he was sitting in the White House. This is unacceptable. They've now already started censoring me. They've censored the American people. The American people are crushed by the elites who don't share their values. And so it's time for folks like me to stand up and be a voice and be a champion for those people. And look, here's the sad truth. If Twitter's already censoring me, they could deplatform me like they did President Trump. And so I would just like to encourage your audience to please join me and join others like me and go to my website, CaptainSamBrown.com, to hear from me directly. There's no promise that I'll be on Twitter tomorrow.
CaptainSamBrown.com. And I want to put up again, you mentioned it, but we're going to show it again, your original tweet. This is you. And by the way, who can argue with this message? On July 4, 1776, America was born. On July 4, 2021, we're still the best country on this planet. Freedom isn't free. And of course, look at the price that you paid for all of us. Twitter's response, what Twitter did with this image, the following media includes potentially sensitive content. So they deleted the picture unless, I believe, you clicked on view. Now, this is a form of censorship. Now, I want to be clear here, Captain Brown. You were able to post selfies like the rest of us before you became a candidate, correct?
This is true. This is true. In fact, for about 3 days before they censored that tweet, it was going viral. I posted it on July 3rd, the night right before 4th of July. And by the time they censored it, it had 2.5 million views. It was even listed on some media outlets as a top 10 4th of July tweet. But they didn't censor it until I became a U.S. Senate candidate. Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. And they shouldn't have that kind of power. So we wish you luck, because this is crazy. If they could look, President Trump, let's face it, he's a billionaire. He's always shooting his mouth off. I love it, but you're captain in the army. Look at what you did. And they're taking that from you. This is trouble. And what does it mean for the rest of us? Sir, if we can switch gears to what's happening right now in Afghanistan. You know we're getting out. You know it's ugly. You wrote about it brilliantly in the USA Today this week. You have grave concerns about how Joe Biden is executing the withdrawal. Before we go there, you are, though, in agreement that we have to get out of Afghanistan at this point?
Not just at this point, Greg. We should have been out years ago. This is a tragedy that we've allowed this to just drag on and on and on. And frankly, the situation has deteriorated the longer. And this is just really a insulting exclamation point on bad decisions for multiple cycles of presidents, unfortunately.
Now, Joe Biden seems to be doing what Joe Biden and Barack Obama did back in, what was it, 2008 or 9, maybe 10, when we were on our way out of Iraq. Hasty, not well coordinated, and that gave rise to ISIS. And it looks like we are doing the same thing all over again.
Right. Yeah, I mean, who knows what type of threat they could be creating within the region and how far that could extend. You know, one of the really sad images that I saw was videos of the Taliban taking possession of vehicles that literally my men and I rode in Afghanistan. The same type of up-armored Humvee, the same type of weaponry. And what they get to do with that at this point, we have no control over. And beyond that, we have also just created a totally open door for China to come in and fill that power vacuum.
Sam Brown, I think this is going to be a great campaign. We wish you luck, and please come back soon. Go to CaptainSamBrown.com for more information and see ways you can support the campaign. Hey, by the way, you're in Reno, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, I've been to Vegas a million times. I've never been to Reno. What's the difference? I understand you can gamble in Reno as well, but what's the difference?
Well, the whole state's beautiful, but Reno is especially known for having Lake Tahoe. It's probably one of the most beautiful places in the country. The hiking is incredible in the Sierra Nevada mountains. You can ski in the winter, hike in the spring and summer. And it's a great place to raise a family, and that's what my wife and I are doing here.
That's beautiful. I remember it from Godfather Part Two. They raised a family, a different kind of family, of course. Well, great to see you, Captain Sam Brown. Continued success. Stay in touch. Come back anytime, okay?
Thanks, Greg, and appreciate your service as well.
Oh, thank you, sir, very much. We'll be right back.
If you've had it with the old news
and the same spin,
well, then Spicer & Company is your place.
For the inside story.
And for the facts that you need to know.
Thank you. Mr. President,
do you trust the Taliban, Mr. President?
Mr. President, Do you trust the Taliban, sir?
Mr. President, will you amplify your answer, please,
why you don't trust the Taliban?
It's a silly question. Do I trust the Taliban? No.
Mr. President, thank you.
I'm going to take one more question.
Mr. President, thank you.
All right. It was the one time I was like kind of feeling for Joe Biden. The report, it sounded like a pet shop in there. Lots to talk about with our panel. We've got with us Dick Morris, host of Dick Morris Democracy. And you got to go to dickmorris.com. Great stuff there. Be sure to register. And also Craig Shirley, presidential historian, Reagan biographer. Listen, I know reporters are known for, yelling and screaming. But, Dick, that was particularly obnoxious and weird. And I wouldn't have blamed Biden for telling everybody to shut up and walking out of the room.
Well, you could tell him that, but he'd forget to do it. What I hear in Washington is that he has really deteriorated and that his aides and the party are really conscious of it. There was an article earlier this week, I think in the New York Times, that talked about people on Kamala Harris's staff saying that she's hard to work with, she's difficult to manage, and essentially that she's not ready for prime time. Now, in a situation like that, what's more important than what it says is that the article exists, that it was placed in the Times. Now, the only kind of source that would be capable of getting that in there are people that work for Joe Biden. Harris's staff isn't going to do it, and Biden's staff would and could. And the question then is why? Why would Joe Biden's staff be planting an article in the Times critical of Kamala Harris? And I believe that combined with the indications we're getting that Joe is getting worse, indicate that we may be headed toward a 25th Amendment situation where Kamala Harris and her staff would essentially initiate a 25th Amendment coup disguised as being in his best interests against Biden. And that what you're looking at here is the Biden staff pushing back against that and saying she's not ready to be president, she's not ready for prime time, don't keep doing this. And I think that's significant. I think you don't get this kind of a story of one half of an administration dumping on the other unless there's something there. And the 25th Amendment is so obviously there.
Wow. So, I saw that article and I just thought, oh, wow, what a bunch of bickering and, nastiness. But, wow. Hey, Craig, what do you think of that? And we all know that presidents and vice presidents have friction. That kind of goes with the territory. But what Dick said makes a lot of sense.
It does make sense. It happened once before in the winning days of the Nixon administration. The Ford people, who was then vice president, had serious discussions about the 25th Amendment and invoking it and somehow pushing Nixon out of office. It ultimately didn't happen because Nixon shortchanged it or short-circuited and resigned in August 74. But, the press out of control is interesting because I think it is reflective of a White House out of control. As you recall, the White House press corps acted pretty much this way all during the Nixon administration, the Ford administration, and the Carter administration. It was only till Jim Brady held the very first press conference for the Reagan White House, in which he gave instructions to the press corps
they will remain seated. They'll be polite. They will raise their hands, and the president will try to call on them one-on-one. But you remember, all during the Reagan administration, the press behaved better than they ever had been before. And I think that this is reflective of a White House that is also out of control, that the press corps is out of control.
Well, you know, they're out of control in that room, but it's not like they're writing all these nasty stories. I mean, here, do me a favor, play it for a moment. You know, they're lobbing all kinds of questions at him, like we saw, but they're not running to the evening news and doing nasty stories. They're still treating this guy with kid gloves, right, Dick?
Yeah, they are, and they always do. But this is not a press out of control. This is a press under control. The Biden administration's people, Joe Biden's people, must have placed that story. Where else would it come from? Kamala Harris's people aren't going to do it. There's not enough sources in the White House for them to do it independently, and the sourcing of that story indicated it was from within the White House. When you see a president criticizing a vice president, in effect, through the staff, there's something at work here. And the most likely play is the 25th Amendment. Go back in history for 1 second. Biden was losing the nomination when he entered South Carolina. The only way he got the nomination and Sue Hooper Tuesday and ultimately the presidency was that Clyburn, the congressman from South Carolina, endorsed him right before Super Tuesday, right the day of the primary in South Carolina. There is a rumor that's been persistent that I personally believe that that was part of a deal to name a black vice president. And in particular, the name that's been coming out was Michelle Obama. But the rumor says that she refused and that put Biden into a bit of a tizzy. And for 6 weeks, he didn't have a vice presidential candidate while the press nipped at him and nagged him. And then he ultimately chose Harris. But I think that the whole effort to put Biden up there was a setup for the 25th Amendment. They knew that he was senile and demented. They knew that he couldn't last in the presidency. They knew that whoever was vice president was going to be the president someday. And they wanted it to be an African-American who was part of their political feeding frenzy that went on during the Obama administration.
Yeah. Well, we got to remember also, I mean, there was no way Pete Buttigieg was going to win a general election. There was no way Kamala Harris could win a general election. None of those Democrats could win a general election. Not even Joe Biden, maybe. Right. Listen, I got to go. Dick Morris, thank you very much. Craig Shirley, thank you. To be continued for sure. I'll be right back. Some great fake news examples right now. I was watching Channel 2 here in New York, which is the CBS Morning Show. Ooh.
Vice President Kamala Harris is talking about changes to voting laws in her first interview on the topic as VP. So far this year, at least 17 state legislatures, most of them Republican-led, have enacted new laws to restrict voting access. That's according to the progressive Brennan Center for Justice. Supporters say tighter voting laws are needed to prevent fraud, though there's no evidence that voter fraud is a widespread problem.
All right, so anti-Republican, so biased. And widespread voter fraud. They always offer that caveat. No evidence of widespread fraud. It only takes a few thousand votes to turn even a national election. It does. So what happened in this big interview with the vice president?
People are talking about potential compromises. Mm-hmm. Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
When we're talking about voter ID laws, be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are. Of course, people have to prove who they are, but not in a way that makes it almost impossible for them to prove who they are.
All right. I don't know what she's talking about. IDs are very reasonable. Polls show that people of all races think that it's reasonable. The corrupt left tries to say it's not reasonable. By the way, that was Soledad O'Brien asking the questions, who seems to be wearing a bathrobe from the future. All right, I also want to talk about this. If you work at a company, corporate America, they've gone totally crazy with this woke stuff, including companies that should be really thinking about other stuff. Okay, have you heard of Raytheon? It's a defense contractor, a big company. They've been around for a long time. They build missiles. They're focused on killing people, technology that can kill people, and also defend our country. This is a great company, great roots. But like almost every other company, they've gone crazy lately. They're making their employees, at least some of them, read this thing, Stronger Together, an employee guide, becoming an anti-racist today. And they've got all kinds of weird tips on how to talk to primarily black people, assuming, I guess this is for white people, what not to say to your black colleagues right now. Some of this stuff is pretty awful. Let's see. This is a suggestion. I'm having conversations about racism with my non-black family and friends, even though I'm afraid. You're supposed to say this, and that's a good thing to say, but you're not supposed to say this. I hope and pray things will change soon, because this shows that you mean well, but meaning well isn't enough. This is a time to do well. An icebreaker about how to talk about race. And let's, Jackie, you haven't said anything in a long time. You're just total nonsense. And companies all over the country are dealing with this stuff. And when you're a company like Raytheon, I believe you got more important things to worry about.
The ability to provide protection against attacking aircraft and modern-day threats is what keeps Raytheon, the U.S. Navy, the Missile Defense Agency, and our allies uniquely positioned to provide the finest fleet and national defense for another 60 years.
Cool company with a cool mission. Why make it hard on everybody? White, black, everybody. Let's come together around the missiles, okay? Well, we have this as well. Black lives do matter, not the way the Black Lives Matter movement says. They only care when a black life is taken by a white cop. No, all lives matter. Black lives matter, including the life of 19-year-old Ja'Kari McKellar, shot and killed outside a convenience store in DeKalb County, Georgia, on Wednesday night. Families say a car drove up and someone sprayed the front of the store with bullets. Ja'Kari was hit and died at the hospital. He had just started a new job and was excited to be turning 20 later this month.
And the last thing I said to him was to go to sleep so he could get up early in the morning so he could be on time for his new job. Please, please, stop it. Stop it. Let my grandson's life mean something. Let my grandson's life mean something. Stop. Close this store down.
Now that is heartbreaking. The Food Mart has been the scene of several deadly shootings over the past few years. So far, no arrests. They're still searching for the gunman. Have a great night. Have a great weekend. Thank you for tuning in. We're proud of what we're doing here. Thank you for your support. See you next week.